أوكي، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وآله وصحبه ومن اتبعه إلى يوم الدين. ما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We are here again today and we are doing our تفسير سورة يوسف إن شاء الله تعالى. So let us get started. الحمد لله. Before we get started today, let's go over a few ayat. Where did we start off? So we're going to go back a little bit, inshallah ta'ala. And we're at the part where Yusuf is giving da'wah in the surah. Ayat 39. Go to 39. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا صاحبي السجن أأرباب متفرقون خير أم الله الواحد القهار. So in this ayah he begins and he asks this question, is now are you know more than one lord, multiple lords, better or one Lord who is Wahidul Qahhar, right? And so I mentioned here that this is a logical statement. The logical statement is a statement that the intellect cannot reject. Which one is better? Many gods or many lords or one? Just reviewing right quick. مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِهِ إِلَّا أَسْمَاءً سَمَّيْتُمُوهَا أَنْتُمْ وَآبَاؤُكُمْ. He says, "Ma ta'buduna min dunihi, you have not worshipped and you all are not worshipping anything except for names that you all made up for your idols." Okay? You and your fathers. This is a researchable statement. Okay? You can look up and do the history and you see you made up these names. Ma anzalallahu biha min sultan, in il hukmu illa lillah. أَمَرَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهِ. This is a legal statement. A legal statement is a statement that Allah or His Messenger has commanded. Allah, one of His prophets, and with regards to Muslims, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has ordered. He says, مَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ بِهَا مِنْ سُلْطَانِ. Allah has not sent down any authority for this. There's no legal authority for this at this point. Okay? You know, in al-hukmu illa lillah, the rule and the right and the authority is only for Allah. Okay? Amara, he has a command. He has legislated and ordered and commanded, made it wajib, that you don't worship anyone except him, that only him. Iyyah. So this is a legal statement. So you have a logical statement, you have a researchable statement, and you have legal statement, one right after the other. And you can look through the whole Quran and break down each ayah and each statement into be one of those particular ones, unless it's a question, okay? And then it's going to probably be a logical question, okay? So, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. I wanted to go and bring that over. Dhalika deen al-qayyim. I want to make the point again that deen al-qayyim means the deen that is upright and will straighten you out. Because a lot of times we say this is the straight way. But it means straight and straighten you out. Okay? This deen. The term deen is way of life, not just religion. The concept of religion and deen are two separate things. Religion is those things that you worship with. Like as-salah, as-zakah, as-shahada, okay? You know, Sawm of Ramadan, making hajj. These are religious rites. Deen is putting henna in the hair, wearing a thobe, okay? Naming your child, what name that you name him. How you sleep, how you eat. All these things are considered deen, your culture. What is lawful, what is not lawful, how you use the bathroom, how you get married, all these things, what you consider to be good business practices, okay? All those things are part of your deen, your culture, okay? So, Going further, he goes on to say, ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون. It was a point I don't know if I mentioned yesterday or not. ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون. أكثر الناس is in reference to the kuffar. When you hear أكثر الناس, that means the kuffar. As we stated before, أكثر الناس, the most people are kuffar. So recognize that. يا صاحبي سيدني أما أحدكما فيسقي ربه خمرا. He gives them the rule. وَأَمَّا الْآخَرُ فَيُسْلَبُ فَتَأْكُلُ الطَّيْرُ مِنْ رَأْسِهِ قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ الَّذِي فِيهِ تَسْتَفْتِيَانِ. So again, he gives it to him straightforward. One of you will go back to his master and continue to pour the drink for him. The other one will be slaughtered. He will be, crucified. And the birds will eat from his head. قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ. It has been decided. الَّذِي أَنْتُمْ تَسْتَفْتِيَانِ. Again, showing that this is a fatwa. Okay? That dream interpretation is a fatwa. Okay? He says, تَسْتَفْتِيَانِ. وَقَالَ لِلَّذِي ظَنَّ أَنَّهُ نَاجٍ مِنْهُمَا. So he says to the one who he believes and he knows is going to be saved from the two of them, اُذْكُرْنِي عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ. This shows that you can take by the asbab, the means, the worldly means of getting things done. Okay? أَغْلَقْ الْبَابِ. Alhamdulillah, pardon me, guys. So you can take by the means of the world to get things done, to accomplish your goals. Okay. Even as a da'i, even as a prophet, you know, he gave them the advice that he gave them. He answered their dreams. But at the same time, you're going out. I need to get out of here. He can mention me to your Lord and help me get out of this situation. There's nothing wrong with that. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. فَأَنْسَاهُ الشَّيْطَانُ ذِكْرَ رَبِّهِ. So shaitan caused him to affect. فَأَنْسَاهُ الشَّيْطَانُ. So here's another rule here. Shaitan causes us to forget. Okay? And the most important thing that shaitan loves to make us forget is about our Lord. Okay? And this ayah, he's not mentioning the Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he's mentioning the Lord. فَلَبِثَ فِي سِجْنِ بِدْعَ سِنِينَ. بِدْعَ سِنِينَ, after he had gone out. Some people say it was 3 days later that this whole thing took place. And Allahu A'lam how long it was. So, وقال الملك إن. Now we're at the part where we left off yesterday. وقال الملك إني أرى سبع بقرات سمان يأكلهن سبع عجاف وسبع سنبلات خضر وأخرى يابسات يا أيها الملأ افتوني في رؤياي إن كنتم لرؤيا تعبرون. Again, in this particular ayah, he says, the king says, I have seen in a dream, and he mentions seven skinny, cows eating seven fat ones, and seven green, ears of corn, and then seven dry ones, right? And then he says, aftuni. Give me a fatwa. Again, this is ta'kid, re-emphasizing. It's going to be re-emphasized three times. Re-emphasizing the point that dream interpretation is a fatwa. And you cannot give a fatwa without knowledge. And this is what he says here. In kuntum fi ru'ya ta'burun. If you have knowledge of this thing, if you can articulate and explain to me what this means. Qalu adghathu ahlam. They said this is a bunch of jumbled, you know, confusion. Wama nahnu bita'wil al-ahlami bi'alimina. And they said, and we are not able to interpret. We have no knowledge of this particular thing. So this is second point here, that there are some dreams that are not, that do not have an interpretation, a logical or explanation that can be garnered from it. It just be some thoughts of people. So we say that dreams come from three places. Dreams come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is a truthful, good dream. Dreams come from shaitan, when you see haram things and devilish stuff in those dreams. And dreams come from people's anxieties as well, okay? And so these are the places that the dreams come from. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. قالوا أضغاث أحلام وما نحن بتأويل الأحلام بعالمين. And there are some dreams that cannot be interpreted. And they acknowledge that they didn't know. So another principle, they acknowledge that they don't know. Okay? So that's another principle here. And that's half of knowledge. Okay? To acknowledge that you don't know. Alhamdulillah. They didn't pretend. And this goes to their truthfulness to the king.
وَقَالَ الَّذِي نَجَى مِنْهُمَا وَادَّكَرَ بَعْدَ أُمَّةٍ أَنَا أُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِتَوِيلِهِ فَأَرْسِلُونِي.
Here, there's a few points here. Some maybe, you know, okay, so first he says, قَالَ الَّذِي نَجَى. So the one who نَجَى, who was saved. This is the wine drink, the one who's pouring the king's drink. He's there. Okay, this is another point, that he became so close to the king that even in this nightmare that this man is having, he's asking for some help. The guy is there. So he is so close to the king that even in his chamber now, after being proven that he had not had anything to do with poisoning the king, he's right close with the king, up there with his closest advisors, hearing everything. He has a top secret clearance because he knows everything that's going on, even that the king is having problems with in his sleep and with a dream and what the actual dream is. And he has enough, what do you call it, closeness and standing with the king and the advisors, that even as a wine drinker, I mean a wine pourer or whatever he's pouring for the king, he has enough standing that he can speak up and say, Ana unabi'ukum, I know that I can get it for you. Okay, because normally servants can't speak in these particular things. Well, you're not an advisor, you know, but he had that particular stance. So that's another point there. The other point is that wadakara, the word wadakara is wadakara in Arabic language. It means to, is on a scale of ifta'ala. Okay, he was reminded. Okay, but because of the dal and the ta coming ad and et, the Arabs don't distinguish at that point. And so the word is wadakara, a doubled dal to show that the word is wadakara. Okay? In that case, okay. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alamin.
Ba'da ummatin, after a ummah,
the word ummah comes in the Quran in a number of meanings. One of the meanings is this one here, ummatin, a long period of time. Okay? Ummah. Kana Ibrahim ummatin. He was an ummah by himself, an alam. Okay? And ummah is a nation, and ummah is a mother. So the word ummah comes in the Quran with all four of these meanings. Okay? Ummatin, period of time, like this. Ummah, alam, scholar, like Ibrahim. Ummah, a nation. Ummatun wasata. Ummah, astaghfirullah, your mother. Ahakadha.
Ana unabbi'ukum bitawilihi fa'arsiluni.
And so he says, give me the authority to send me. Send me. So make me the messenger and give me the authority. I will go get it. So he needs authority to go into the jail, speak to whoever he needs to speak to. They give him the pass, the golden pass to go do that. And so that's why he asked for arsiluni. Then the next part, Yusufu ayyuha siddiq. Hey, look what he says. Oh, Yusuf, my man. 50 grand. He greets him with such love and such nearness and friendliness, showing his sidq, his honesty and love and care for Yusuf. No, like, oh man, I'm sorry, I forgot you. Hey, he knows that doesn't make a difference here. Hey, you have siddiq, aftuni, give me a fatwa. This is the third time where a dream interpretation is mentioned as getting a fatwa. Aftina, give us the fatwa, okay?
في سبع بقرات سمان يأكلهن سبع عجاف وسبع سنبلات خضر وأخرى يابسات
لعلي, so that I can go back to the people. Okay? إلى الناس لعلهم يعلمون. So now he shows that he wants to come up. He says, so that I can go back to the people and tell them. Who's the hero? Me! Okay? لَعَلِّيَ أَرْجِعُ إِلَى النَّاسِ, right? So that I can go back to the people and tell them. Not you. You're going to tell me so that I can go back and I can get some, you know, I can come up. So here's a principle here. Even though he loves Yusuf, even though he knows Yusuf can give him the answer, he doesn't say, hey, well, let him out so he can go tell them. He says, tell me so I can tell us so that I can go back and get the credit for telling the people, so that then they would know. People look out for their own selves a lot of times, even if they do care for you.
Okay? So, and this is what he, there's another subtlety right here. Okay? Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Yusuf doesn't hesitate. That's the next point. Yusuf does not say, okay, well, man, make sure, do something for me. Okay? He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, well, I'll tell him, let me out. We'll go together. He doesn't say that either. He doesn't ask for anything. He immediately does not answer the question. He does what his sunnah is. His sunnah is to go and give more than the answer. He doesn't give the answer. He gives the solution. So the other principle is Yusuf did greater than what they asked him. Instead of just interpreting the dream, he bypassed interpreting the dream and gave them the solution that the dream was implying. Okay? And he told them, قَالَ تَزْرَعُونَ سَبْعَ سِنِينَ دَأَبًا دَأَبًا فَمَا حَصَدْتُمْ فَذَرُوهَا فِي سُنْبُلِهِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِمَّا تَأْكُلُونَ. So he says here, and he's showing his craft. So the next principle is here. Yusuf shows his skill, his technique, his craft, and understanding how to solve this particular problem. Because he says, put it fadaruha fi sumbulihi. Save the grain that you harvest for 7 years, okay? Save it inside of its sumbula, inside of its husk, which makes it last. It dries, but it stays fresh. Okay? And that's the key element. They didn't say, fi sumbulihi. And then he gives them what the ulama call usulul iqtisad. He gives them the fundamentals of iqtisad. Now, only you save it all except a little. Illa qalila mimma ta'kulun. So, hey, you got, when in a time of plenty, save as much as you can and only eat what you need, as little bit, while you're saving it. So when you don't have plenty, now you have some. So you have a whole period of where you're eating a little bit, but it's consistent, okay? You have a consistent period of eating. Whereas if you just took advantage of the time when you have a lot, you get a lot of eating, and then when there's none, you have nothing. So it's better to eat a little bit throughout the whole 14, 15 years, as opposed to only having some during half that time. So they call this the usul al-iqtisad. Okay? So he said, qalila mimma ta'kulun. So he shows another skill. First, the one, how to save it. Then, al-iqtisad. The fundamentals of iqtisad. Thumma ya'ti min ba'di thalika sab'un shidadun. Ya'kulna ma qaddamtum lahunna illa qalila mimma tuhsinun. He says, and now the other 7 going to come. And it's going to wipe everything out, except for a little bit, which you're going to be, you have saved, and you're going to be able to keep getting a little something out of that. Okay? Not the same level. ثُمَّ يَأْتِي مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ. This is the 15th year. عَامٌ, a year. فِيهِ يُغَاثُ النَّاسُ وَفِيهِ يَعْصِرُونَ. From the beauty of his, Yusuf shows him that it's going to be over. There is a light at the end of the forest. Right? There's a light at the end of the cave or the darkness here. And so look, at the end, there's going to be a time where yughathu nas, going to be some people going to be squeezing grapes, right? People are going to be drinking and have enough that they'll be now making wine again. Okay? That's what ya'asirun here is. What does the Malik do? The king says, waqala al-Malik, and the king says, u'tuni bi, bring him to me, free him, and bring him to me. فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُ. So he got his freedom. He got the order for his freedom. Okay? Now, it's a very important issue here. فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُ الرَّسُولَ قَالَ ارْجِعْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَاسْأَلْهُ مَا بَالَ نِسْوَةِ اللَّاتِي قَطَعْنَا أَيْدِيَهُنَّ. He says, okay, when they came, he said, okay, you're out. Pop the gate. He says, nah, he locks it. You know, hey, I have not been, you know, judged. I have not been judged. Y'all locked me up. I never went to court, right? I never got any ruling on what's my situation. The word on the street is that I'm some type of perv. Okay, that's what the word is. I can't walk around like that. My name is not, you know, something cheap. Make a ruling on me before you let me go. Before I'm not going nowhere till you all take me through the system and make a ruling about my situation. So the king says, whoa, he doesn't want to come out. What's the situation? What's he locked up for? Now the king becomes the judge and the investigator. What type of man refuses to get out until we find out what the situation is? The prison says, we don't know why he's in jail. We just lock him up. They brought him here. We lock him up. When they say to bring him out, we bring him out. Nobody showed up. They go to the court. The court said he never came through the court. Never saw him before. He has no, there's no paperwork. There's nothing. So now the hikmah, the wisdom of why Allah caused those women to cut their hands. Dalil, that there was a case. Otherwise, there would be no proof of anything that happened. So he said, they go to Yusuf, what's your situation? He says, ask them about the situation about the women when they cut their hands. Now, that's proof, living proof. Oh, what are the women that cut their hands? Hey, bring the women with the cut hands. So all the women with the cut hands and Zulaikha showed up. And he made their husbands come. Okay? So this is the wisdom of Allah causing them to cut their hands and making it come that way. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. This proves the qadr of Allah. Everything is part of the plan of Allah. Okay? Everything is his weapon. Inna Rabbi bi kaydihinna alim. He says, my Lord is well aware, fully aware of their plot. Okay, alim. Again, this goes back to showing the knowledge of Allah. This is a statement about a hukum about Allah. The Quran, all the ayat, one of them is about tawheed. One ayat is seven mathani. One of the oft repeated ayat that of the seven mathani is tawheed, being mentioned over and over, describing Allah. You want to study tawheed, you want to know about Allah. There is no book. This is a principle here. There is no book that can teach you more about tawheed than the Quran. Period. Hands down. People have been tricked by looking otherwhere to study tawheed. You study tawheed and aqidah in the Quran. Because in the Quran, there is on every page a description of Allah, a name of Allah, a title of Allah, how Allah dealt with the kuffar, how Allah dealt with the believers, the prophets, okay? What he promised, what is Jannah, what is Nar, the unseen, what else is there? There's no book that describes, and it's from Allah, not anyone else's statement or assumption. Take that into your understanding. So the king says,
وَقَالَ مَا خَطْبُكُنَّ إِذْ رَاوَدْتُنَّ يُوسُفَ عَنْ نَفْسِي قُلْنَا حَاشَ لِلَّهِ مَا عَلِمْنَا عَلَيْهِ مِنْ سُوءٍ.
He gives them together. He says, okay, what's your khutbah? What's your speech? What y'all got to say? This is basically, this is real nice, slick talk. مَا خَطْبُكُنَّ. What is your speech? What you got to say about when y'all wanted Yusuf? They said, "Hasha lillah, we don't know nothing. No, ma'alimna min su. We don't know nothing bad about him." But this is only half the story. They're not saying that they did it. They're saying, "Only nothing happened. We don't know nothing. We know that we'd experienced nothing bad from him." Okay. But now, qalatimra'atul aziz. Now the mra'atul aziz, she steps up. And she says, Al-ana hashas al-haq. Hashasa, meaning something has come out into the open that before was hidden. That's what hashasa means. Hashas al-haq. Like if I got this here, I did that. Hashas al-haq. Yani hashaq al-yadi. My hand was hidden. Now it came out. Hashas al-haq. Now the truth has come out after it was hidden. أنا راودته عن نفسه وإنه لمن الصادقين. You know, he said, look, you know, he said, أنا راودته عن نفسه. I'm the one that started all this. I'm the one that was after him, that was trying to get at him. Okay? I'm the one that tried to, you know, entice him. وإنه لمن الصادقين. So she steps up and does what the other 40 women don't do. She tells the full story. The other 40 women don't tell the full story. They just said, Hasha, we ain't did nothing and we don't know nothing what happened. You know, we don't know nothing that happened bad. Okay? But she says, and now the truth is going to come out. I'm the one that tried to make him desire after his low base self, tried to get him to want me. وَإِنَّهُ, listen to the double, the triple ta'kid. إِنَّهُ لَمِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Not only is he truthful, la is emphasizing, and inna. This is three emphasis on he is without doubt telling the truth. She says, ذَلِكَ لِيَعْلَمَ أَنِّي لَمَ خُنْهُ بِالْغَيْبِ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي كَيْدِ الْخَائِنِينَ. She says, this is to let him know that I did not, you know, I was not treacherous behind his back. I ain't, you know, I didn't, you know, throw him under the bus. Also, some say this is to let her husband know that actually we didn't actually do anything. But it's more said that she's saying this for that. So to Yusuf, look, I didn't, you know, go behind your back and lie. Okay. And I realize now that, you know, and Allah does not guide the plots of the kha'in, the tricksters. Okay? So this is i'lan of her deen now. Now she's no longer on that other deen that she previously was. Because now she's talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and previously she wasn't. Okay. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي إن النفس لأمارة بالسوء إلا ما رحم ربي إن ربي غفور رحيم.
So there's اختلاف amongst the ulama of who says this right here.
وما أبرئ نفسي.
And I'm not saying that I am free of any, you know, no desire or anything like that. Inna nafsa la amaratun bisu. The soul craves to do some things, okay, some evil things. Illa man rahima rabbi, except the ones who my Lord protects and saves. And this sounds more like the speech of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Inna rabbi ghafur rahim. Like I said, this is a book of tawheed. He said, the fact of the matter is, my Lord is Ghafoor Rahim. He is always forgiving and extremely merciful, always forgiving. Okay? So again, we're learning more about the sifat of Allah. Okay? And through this route, in describing and who Allah is. He is Ghafoor Rahim. He is the Lord of everything and taking care of everyone. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. From here is the principle to know that the soul inclines to do evil things, except for the ones whom Allah protects. Rahima Rabbi, whom Allah has mercy on. So from this principle, we know that, from this fact, we know that we must turn to Allah in order to protect ourselves from ourselves. Okay? And we see that Yusuf applied that when he tried to run out the room. And he said, Rabbi, you know, asijinu ahabba ilayya mimma yad'unani ilay. If you don't, you know, save me, asbu ilayhim. I'm fall into what they got. Wa akunna min al-jahilin. And I'll be one of the ignorant ones too. So we must not, we cannot, when we say protect ourselves, it doesn't mean that we think that we are the ones that can do the protecting, but rather protect ourselves by asking Allah to protect us. That's what it's mentioning here. Rahim Rabbi, meaning we turn to Allah and ask Him to protect us. Now, what's the first protection? Innahu inna Rabbi Ghafur Rahim. He is Ghafur Rahim. So the first step in correcting, even when we study medicine, okay, the first step in getting cured, getting back to, because let's not even call it cured for the sake of the people's you know, the governments and their control over these terms, because cured is a legal term, medicine is a legal term. But to return back to perfect health, the first step, according to Islamic medicine, is to make istighfar. You're feeling sick? Astaghfirullah. That's the first step. Okay? Not go take two anacin and medicine and call me in the morning. No. Al-istighfar is the very first step. Okay? The first thing. Get that sin off you. Get that those sins, that weight, spiritual and emotional and psychological. Get that, crack that, clean that off of yourself. Okay? First. And this is indicative here in the ayah. It says, Inna Rabbi Ghafurur Rahim. Okay? And the Ghafur preceded the Rahim. And he says, only, listen again now, pay attention to the point here. He says, everybody's soul inclines to do evil except for the one whom Allah has mercy on. But he says, Inna Rabbi Ghafurur Rahim. Before the mercy comes the Ghafur, right? So, fastaghfirullah to get to the mercy. Does that make sense? Next point. Now, after hearing this, the king says, وقال الملك, remember before he said, Utuni bi, bring him to me. Kings are not used to having to wait. He says again, Utuni bihi astakhlishu li nafsi. This is ziyada. So the first time he said, Utuni bi, just that. Now he says, Utuni bi astakhlishu li nafsi. I'm going to use him for me. He's going to be my main. He's going to be my ikhlas me, meaning he's going to be my elite. He's going to be with me and only under me. Okay? So this is the benefit of Yusuf staying back and saying, I'm not coming out until y'all clear up this nonsense. Because when he forced them to clean it up, the king now gave him automatic high position before he even met him. The first time was like, oh, Tony B. And the early man said, well, I mean, here, take some money, go home, you're free. Now he's saying, astakhlis, but Tony B. Astakhlis, who be nafsi, gave him a qam, gave him a position before he even met him because of what him staying back in the prison. Look at the sabr of Yusuf, the long range vision he had and understanding. And the immediate reward of clearing his name. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Our Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, look at the sabr of Yusuf. He said, if it was me, I'd have left when the first da'wah came, when the first invitation. He said, the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first invitation, I'd have been out. You know, a lot of us would have been out. But Yusuf decided to stay and make it clear. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.
فَلَمَّا كَلَّمَهُ قَالَ إِنَّكَ الْيَوْمَ لَدَيْنَا مَكِينٌ أَمِينٌ.
And so then when he met him, now this verse he gave him, أَسْتَخْلِصْهُ لِنَفْسِي. فَلَمَّا كَلَّمَهُ, then when he spoke to him, they had a private conversation. قَالَ, he said to him, you are الْيَوْمُ, from today forth, مِنَ الْيَوْمُ. قَالَ الْيَوْمُ لَدَيْنَا Anta makinun amin. You are not only makin, firm in the land, amin, safe. You got to worry about nobody. I trust you, and you are trusted in the land. You are safe no matter where you go. You're good. You have the keys to the world here, to the whole kingdom. Do what you like. What do you want? You tell me what you want to do. You pick position, whatever you want. So what does he say? قَالَ جَعَلْنِي عَلَى خَزَائِنِ الْأَرْضِ إِنِّي حَفِيظٌ عَلِيمٌ. He says to him, he said, do what you like, what you want. What position do you want? Yusuf responds by says, قَالَ جَعَلْنِي عَلَى خَزَائِنِ الْأَرْضِ. With his vision, he says, put me in charge of all the storehouses in the whole land. In me, I got knowledge. I know how to do this. Okay? I know how to preserve it, and I have knowledge of this. And he's already proved it. Fi sumbulihi, right? Only a little bit of it. Mimma ta'kulun, right? You save all the rest of it. But he knows he's got knowledge on how to do it, and he knows how to preserve it. This from this principle here, we see that it is not haram to toot your horn when you have that skill. It's nothing wrong for you to say, this is my credentials. Ibn Uthaymeen, he said, sometimes you have to show people, yo, al-isnaduddin, this is what I come with. This is what I've accomplished. Because people think a lot of times when they see, you know, something, they say, oh, I can do that. Or really? Oh, he hasn't done that. But you don't know what that person might have done, what their qualifications are. So sometimes you have to state what your qualifications are. And here, Yusuf does that. He says, these are my qualifications. I know how to do this. I have knowledge of it. And I know how to preserve this stuff. Give me the position. The condition is that you can actually do it. You're not talking smoke like a lot of the rappers and stuff like that. People nowadays, they talk, but they can't do what they're talking about. They have no experience. They don't have the knowledge, stuff like that. So you have to actually be honest and have those qualifications and that ability. Alhamdulillah. وكذلك مكنا ليوسف في الأرض يتبوأ منها حيث يشاء نصيب برحمتنا من نشاء ولا نضيع أجر المحسنين. He says here, وكذلك مكنا ليوسف, such a beautiful story, and just like that. You can read it a couple of ways. وَكَذَلِكَ, and just like that, you know what I'm saying? And like that, okay? Either way, it all comes in there. And this is the way we do it. You know, مَكَنَّا, we made Yusuf firm, feel art in the world, right? يَتَبَوَّأُ مِنْهَا حَيْثُ يَشَاءُ, he can come and go, stop and stay, حَيْثُ, any way and how he wants, because حَيْثُ is not just where he wants, how he wants to. There's a sir, there's a secret here. Not a real sir, but from the tafsir perspective, al-Ta'if. Yusuf had been in jail. Yusuf was in prison with people from all over Misr. Now he got peoples everywhere. He did time with them. They got today like brothers. Being in prison and being in the military, there's a bond, a brotherhood that is really, really tight. You with these people day in and day out. You can't hide nothing about yourself. He knows them. They know him. He's been giving them da'wah. This is the silent understanding. He's been giving them da'wah and they have accepted it. As we see lots of people come to deen while in prison. Now the wisdom of him being in prison comes out. Now he knows people all over the place in Egypt. Yatabawwa'u minha. He can go wherever he wants to. His name rings bells all over the world. And wherever he comes, he got some people who are street people, who are people who know the ins and outs because they were formerly criminals. They know the area. They can make things happen. They can protect him. And they know everybody in the area and let them know what's going on in all those areas, which is knowledge he needs as he's starting to formulate an economic plan for each one of these places. So who are the rich people who are going to start trying to hide their wealth so they can get some subsidence, right? Government subsidence, right? Who are the ones that have land? Who are the poor people that need? These guys come and tell him those things. They become his deputies in each one of the areas that they're at. And this is yatabawwa'u minha haythu yasha. Okay, this is another one of the wisdoms of Yusuf going to prison. So now he's not just an aristocrat that was born with a silver spoon. He was raised by a prophet for his childhood, which is foundation. He spent his middle years is from teenage, beginning teen, preteen to adult, you know, being an aristocrat in the house of the governor. Then spent the next 10 joints in prison. Getting to know the world from that point of view. This person is well-rounded. He is well-rounded. And he has the experience, the knowledge, the moral makeup to do whatever he needs to do. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Allah, and it goes back to the very first statement that his father says, وَلِيُعْلِمُكَ مِنْ تَعْوِيلِ الْأَحَدِيثِ. So he's going to teach you. Life teaches you. teaches you how to understand things. Ta'wil al-ahadith, the meanings of things when they're events. How he's not when he hears all the stories of all these people, how they got locked up. How he's not when he's growing up in the house of the government and the siyasa, the politics, and he sees how stuff is run inside the house. So he really knows what all this stuff means. How he don't when he grew up under his father and he knows about prophecy and the things to come and about the hereafter and about Allah. He knows the meanings of what's really going on and what that means when that happens. This is real practical knowledge. Because Allah says, well, you alimuhu ta'wil. So what was teaching him? His experience as well. Wahyi and life. Nusibu bi rahmatina man nasha. We cause to affect, we cause the rahmah to affect whoever we want. And remember, rahmat, illa man rahima rabbi. You see the mercy all throughout the surah, we're hearing about the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From the mercy, you say, well, where's the mercy when he's going through these vicissitudes? Even in those areas, Allah is making those things good for him. You know, just because a person is locked up does not mean he's not receiving the mercy of Allah. I remember I was in prison and I met a guy. He was happy to be in prison. I said, why were you happy to be in prison? He said, I thought I was going to get killed at any moment. He says, I knew it. These guys didn't like me. They were plotting to kill me. Okay. So when the police busted in there and pulled their guns on me, I was so happy. I said, well, how did you know they were police? He said, because they were cursing. The gunman ain't gonna bust in my house and start cursing at me. These guys bust in the door, start cursing. He was in bed. He started cursing. He said, who's at home? Yeah. Oh, it's the police. Good. Take me to jail, man, because I need to change. People understand their situations. He saw going to prison was a mercy for him. It helped him stay alive. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. It's all perspective. So here, Allah tells us throughout this surah, you know, and the prophet Yaqub says, don't become disparate. Don't despair from rawhillah, the mercy of Allah. We hear people and they make these statements like, and because of their situation, they act as if they're not under the mercy of Allah. No, if you're not under the mercy of Allah, then that means Allah's having no mercy on you whatsoever. Is that what you're saying? If we could think about what that statement means. I remember Farid Abdullah, rahimahullah, he said that to us. To not be in the mercy of Allah means that Allah is having no mercy on you. We know if you have no mercy on a person, what your situation would be. Now, what if Allah is not having any mercy on you? You can't imagine that. That's what the kuffar are going to go through. Yawm al-Qiyamah. So we should appreciate that we are always receiving the mercy of Allah. La ye'asu min rahmatillah, the mercy of Allah. Nusibu bi rahmatina man nasha' wa la nudi'u ajr al-muhsinin. This is the message of the surah, throughout the surah. The mercy of Allah comes and affects whoever Allah wants it to affect. At the same time, la nudi'u, Allah will never let the reward of the person who's doing ihsan go to waste. Never will a good deed you do not be paid in full, not be rewarded. It will not go to waste because Allah's promise was, la nudi'u ajr al-muhsini, the muhsin. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And at this point, oh no, I'm going to do the next one. وَلَا أَجْرُ الْآخِرَةِ خَيْرٌ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. And here it says, and without doubt, the reward of the hereafter will be even better. For who? الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. So the one needs to understand that the reward of the hereafter is only going to be better for those who believed, right? And not only they believed, what does that mean? It goes back to what we were saying earlier, that taqwa means that you know the laws and you're applying them. Okay? Because here, yattaqun, they were acting on their knowledge of the Sharia, not just talking about it, but they were acting on it. Kanu yattaqun. What is the law? Am I applying it actively in my life? Am I putting it down? Then that is yattaqun. So it goes back to amanu wa amilu salihat. Goes back to the meaning in Suratul Asr. Okay? Believe and action. Okay? So this is where we end today. That's the last principle I want to say to you, is that the hereafter is better for those who believe and they act on their knowledge. Okay? Knowledge of the Sharia. Okay? And not just what they know. I don't want to leave it as what they know, like whatever they know. And acting on knowledge of the Sharia. And what I mean by the Sharia is actual physical Islamic law. Okay? Not the vague laws. Not like, okay, do good. That's a vague law. We're talking about the actual law, not leaning on your on your back on a wall or on a pillow when you're drinking. That's Islamic law. That is considered makruh. See, something simple like that, not doing that. Sitting down and putting on your right shoe first and taking off your left shoe first. This is Islamic law. Okay? Naming your children with Islamic names, names that are indicative of a Muslim. Okay?
Trimming your mustache.
On your beard. Okay? Covering in accordance to Islamic law and covering your qubul and your dubur. And I'm referring mainly to the men who, because they have the most problem with that. Okay? Basic things. Basic things that have actually laws that Allah has told you and His Messenger has canonized for us, meaning has legislated and put it in laws, boom, 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 one after the other. And the ulama of fiqh have come together and organized it so we can see it. Okay? That's yattaqun. Knowing those laws and working on applying them in your way in your life. Meaning according, what do I mean by your way? How does Abu Talib do it? I can do it the way I want to do it as long as I'm within the perimeters. And you can do it the way your personality, your style allows you to do it within the perimeters of the law. Okay, within the limits of the law. Okay, and this is where ethnicity comes in. This is where geography and country and all this the flavor that you savor, neighbor, all that comes in together, which you have all this room to move in as long as you're within the limits of the law. But if you don't know the law, and this is very vital for people who swear that they are muttaqin, know for a fact you are not a muttaqi. If you don't know the 38 rules and laws of Islam, it's just impossible for a person to have taqwa if they don't know the laws. And I'm telling you, in the 30-something years that I've been teaching, I know most people don't know the laws. Most people can't even name the laws. Can't even name them. And if they heard them, wouldn't be able to define it. That's how poor we are with our knowledge. And meaning we are in need of some basic knowledge. And we're so busy doing this. Where's my ear? Reaching around the head, you know, doing this other crazy stuff, as opposed to just sitting down someplace and learn the laws and what they mean. Simple as that. 38 is not a high number. Okay? I will go so far as to say that even the five pillars of Islam, only like two of them are being applied. Salah and Sawm. Most people don't know much about the Aqidah. They can't tell you even what what Al-Ghayb is, what the unseen is. They can't tell you, except they'll say Allah is Al-Ghayb. Now, that's just one definition. There's a bunch more to go with it. Not a bunch, but seven. Okay, what are they? We haven't thought about it. Okay, unseen places, unseen things, right? So what are we talking about? So Jannah, Nar, time of the prophets, the Mizan, the scales, you know, the Qadr. So You get my point? So they can't say they know that. You ask them, what types of names of Allah does? What's the difference between the names of Allah? How many types of tawheed are there? You know, I'm not talking about tawheed tawheed where you isolate Allah, right? And you single Allah out, and tawheed in your just your devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the tawheed of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where you single him out as your guide and your leader. And the opposite is shirk when referring to Allah. And the opposite is bid'ah when it comes to not following the Prophet. See, so the shirk of the second shahada is bid'ah. And the shirk of the first shahada is shirk. Basics. What about zakat? Most people don't even know how to pay zakat and have not ever paid it. And most of them have not gone and performed hajj or even umrah. Most. So we had even the five pillars, we're lacking in three areas. You get my point? So, but at the same time, you have this attitude of I am the epitome of the best and the greatest Muslims of ever because I'm a convert or because of this or because I live in this particular area or because I live in the land of the Kufar and I wear a thobe or I wear a kufi or something. No, this is shaitan delusions, shaitanic delusions. We need to do better. We have to do better. If we don't do better, you will soon see us all as slaves to the Dajjal system. Okay? Because we're dabbling. We're playing with the kuffar while we want to be Muslim. And after a while, that line is not going to be able to be crossed anymore. Okay? Because they have a clarity on their wala wa bara. We are the ones that, even that issue, and this again, we go back to Aqidah, the first, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Why do we say that? This is why I say we don't even know the five pillars. Why is that the first one? What does that have to do with anything? It's called distinction. The reason why we have to give the shahada is because of distinction. Otherwise, we could just say, yo, I'm Muslim. I just become Muslim and I just go about my business. I don't got to tell nobody nothing, right? No. But we have to declare it, right? To distinguish what side we're on. This is wala wal bara. Ain't no gray area. What side are you on? And that distinction is so important. And that's what's getting grayed up now. That's why you see Muslim men looking like kuffar men. Okay? No more distinction. When distinction is the first issue of our deen. Man tashabbaha biqawmin fahuwa minhum. That used to mean something. But as we lose the idea of what the aqidah is and what wala wal bara, what is the application of la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah? I'll tell you. The application of la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah is wala wal bara, meaning associating and having connection with the believers and disassociating. Listen to the words, guys. Bara, not associating with them, meaning we don't have anything that we are can be associated with them, connected with them in that. We are distinct in the way we look, the way we talk, the way we dress, all of that. But no. You know your aqidah. You know this one's a murji. You know this one is that one. This one's off it and all that stuff. You know all the nigga nonsense, basically. But not the Islamic knowledge. The basic. Wala wal bara. Where's the proof? In 82 ayah in the Quran that begin with Ya yuladina aminu. Those ayat are the application of the aqidah of the Muslim. Simple as that. This is my lesson for today. You know, شط اليد على الأمر. يقول يعني بعض العلماء شط اليد, meaning the ship went on a tantrum. Have fun. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. If there's any questions, I will take them at the moment. I see the chat has some things. Let me. Oh, this is the stuff he was writing. Okay. Now, distinction is the most basic level of the shahada. Distinction. distinguishing ourselves is part of distinction. Okay? And Allah says in the Quran that the woman would wear the khimar so they could be recognized, right? And known. That's distinction. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. But the men are not women enough to be distinguished. Anyway, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. I don't see any questions. So, Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum.